Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hello.
And you are probably gearing up for Christmas.
It's only a couple weeks away.
So very exciting. And we just wanted to let you guys know this is going to be probably our last Risen Motherhood for the year. Not worry. We're coming back.
We will be back.
But like most of you guys, we have family stuff and a million other things going on. And we know you do too. So we are just going to take a couple week breather here, but we are going to be back in January. But as we were ending the year, we thought, hey, this is a season that is generally marked by a lot of joy and exciting things, but it's also a very, very busy time of the year where it's just so easy to lose focus on what really matters in our parenting and to lose focus on what our goal is as parents. And so we just wanted to do kind of a send-off episode just for the, for 2016 to inspire you guys to, be thinking about that for when you come out of, like, kind of the Christmas fog.
When you have the detox of your children. That's what I like to call it, is just, like, they're getting a bit back into routine, getting the, you know, eating a little bit better, sleeping a little bit better, all of those things. So, but this is still stuff that you can do even today because it's so important, as we always talk about here on Risen Motherhood, of just being an intentional mom. And the big thing that we want to talk about today is just, you know, as moms, we often think about what's my great impact? What is my mark on the world? You know, what am I leaving? And, I think we would all agree that that's our children, you know, as mothers, like that is what we are sending forth. It's the next generation. And, but what does that mean? Like, how are we different from society? What makes us as believing moms, moms who believe in the resurrection, what makes us different? And how that impact looks.
Exactly. And I think it also approaches like the way that we parent and what things we pass along to them. I think in general, like our culture says, children need to be trained up to be good and moral, maybe not even moral sometimes, but, but you know, good contributors to society. And kind of the gold star standard is that you would have a successful job, that you would be well-educated, that
popular,
you would have, have a lot of finances, that you would be well-known. But as Christian moms, we are pointing our children towards eternity. We are trying to equip them to follow Jesus and to be able to process through that. And more so than just training our children to just do good things kind of on the outside for the sake of it, we want to train them that they are, you know, sinners who actually need Jesus and only by his power are going to do good works and make contributions that are lasting for eternity, and teaching them how to deal with their sin and their failure by being dependent on God. And that is a totally different mindset than just kind of your standard, like, hey, treat people kindly because it's going to get you further in life.
Yeah, exactly. We want, I was telling Emily about this poster I had in my room growing up. It said, stand up for what is right, even if you're standing alone. It had this like little image of a stick man with his arms in the air praising Jesus. But it made a real impact on me of like wanting to, like stand up, you know, like, or like I was thinking about how, oh, I might have to do that someday at school because I want to stand up for Jesus and, you know, little high school thoughts. But it was definitely it exemplifies what this is about of just like, we want to raise our children to not follow society, to not pursue, you know, security or comfort or success or popularity, but instead to pursue Christ. And so that no matter what, when they don't have those things, when that security, comfort, success, and popularity is ripped away, that they still want to do what is right, that they still want to honor God and that they have a firm foundation. And so how do we do that? You know, how can we get our kids to think outside of themselves and their own personal, you know, goals and needs? and want to be thinking like Jesus, and yet at the same time be comfortable with it. You know, how do we teach them not just what to think to be a good person, but how to think and how to process and make decisions? And so that's kind of what we're going to chat through today.
Yeah, because I think now that I have, oh, I'm like an ancient parent. I have a 4-year-old.
We've been around the block.
But I've realized just starting to see how you really can get to a point with a child where they will obey you and like can make the right choice. But then I've noticed that, you know, sometimes my oldest son will follow my direction with a wrong heart. Mm-hmm. And it is like Laura said, drawing out and like learning how to teach him, okay, why am I asking you not to hit your brothers with a stick?
Yes.
It is not just for the sake of like, you're going to injure them. It is because you need to think about them. And well, how do you think that makes your brothers feel? And like, how do you think that makes God feel? So we'll get into that more, but just, yeah, it's that like, hey, it's not just about the outward action, because God is about more than just the outward action. He is about our heart.
That's right. And so how do we do that, teaching them how to think? Well, first we have to teach them the gospel. I mean, that is the most important thing. So it's risen motherhood and here's the gospel. But of just that, our children are different, you know, and we are different as believers. We have to teach them who they are, and that they're not going to be the same as some of their neighbors. They're not going to be the same as some of their friends. They're going to act differently. And that's because they are different, that we want to teach them to not live for today and the worldly comforts, but instead to look forward and ahead to the coming of the King. And that's hard to teach a 3-year-old, let's be honest, you know, of like, oh, here's your identity in Christ and you need to long for God's redemptive story to come, you know? And so that's really hard. But what that really is just like helping your children embrace, I think Jen Wilkins says like embracing their strangeness or, you know, embracing their alienness. And so that's like helping them to understand that like we're different because we love God and because he matters to us and he makes us different. And that is a good thing, instead of just like, oh, you can't, you know, say those potty words because they're wrong. And this gives them a reason. And we want to teach them to love God's law in order to want to obey God, because again, more Jen Wilkin, the heart cannot love what the mind does not know. That applies to us as moms and it applies to our children.
Completely. And then also I think being radical as you're raising your children and getting them comfortable with that and getting them comfortable with making sacrifices for the sake of others, whether it's a small thing of like, I know you really wanted that cookie, but we need to think about your brother and what would be in his best interest. And so let's give that to him, even though you may not get that. Of course, that would incite a massive tantrum, but those are good things like to be teaching and talking to them about how we are to lay down our lives. We are to be wise. We want to use our resources. I know that a lot of time my husband is really good about telling our kids like, our house, like this is God's, these are God's things. And, you know, we want to give them away. And like our time is the Lord's time and all of those things of just like reminding them that it is worthwhile to give everything to God, even if there is a cost to us.
Amen. And that's, and that takes more time in parenting.
Yes. I
think, Emily, you said that would ensue a massive tantrum, you know, and that's why most of us are like, okay, whatever, everyone can have cookies or we'll figure this out. But I think that, like you said, it's so worthwhile. Those are opportunities to teach our children proper response, teaching them how to process, how to think about such things so that someday, you know, when they hopefully leave the nest, they can make those decisions because you haven't just created a robot or a Pharisee, but instead you've created a child that says, no, I see that things are better when I follow God's law. I see how that these things work to refine me and make me a more well-rounded person, or just because I know that like I want to obey God because I love what he's done for me.
And even that like better, and I talked to my oldest son about this of like, it may not seem like it's good, you know, in the way that we think of good, but it is the most satisfying thing. It's the thing that's going to bring us joy in the long term. And it is what is best for us. And we can believe God that even if, you know, our circumstances didn't turn out the way we wanted, we can trust that if we're following his law, it's for our good. And it's those types of conversations that probably fly over their head and just make them mad when they're little. But I hope that, I just pray that it starts to sink in.
Yes. And we are speaking, again, not from success and having children out there that are like super awesome. We hope that. But we have learned these things from older, wiser women who have taught us, and we've seen their children grow up and be, we hope that our children can become like theirs. And so these are things that we want to share with you of like, okay, how do you do that with a 3-year-old? And we're in this stage with you, 4-year-old, whatever. And, but know that like we are speaking from what wiser women have instilled in us. So how does this work? What's this look like? So first and foremost, you got to walk what you talk, right? You got to, you can't tell your child, hey, quiet times are so important. You need to have one if you never have one, or, hey, let's pray to God, but they never see mom on her knees. You know, like these are things that, you need to model those rhythms of a life that loves the Lord. And so you want to draw your children to it to say like, you know, I always like loved seeing my mom's trust in God. That is something that I desire to model. Or like my mom was fearless. She was a fearless woman because she had a hope in God. And so there are so many things like that I remember of my mom from growing up. And I'm like, man, I want to emulate that from my mother. And much of that I know was from spiritual practices, rhythms in her life of, you know, spending time with the Lord. And so I knew she was authentic, and I knew, especially as I got older, that what she said was true because she modeled it in her own life.
Totally. Another thing is just giving them a foundation of knowledge to draw off of. We already mentioned just sharing the gospel with our children and making sure that they know that really well. But I mean, everything from, you know, Bible stories to theology to just like understanding why we do certain things as a family or why we make certain decisions and how that's consistent with God's teaching and why it is for their good and all of those types of conversations. And I think something I struggled with from time to time as well, but you know, my child hasn't accepted Christ yet. So like, am I just kind of, you know, brainwashing them or something? But when you think about if your child, you know, let's say they're in your house for their whole life, you know, until they're 18 and like you never see them accept Christ, but they have all of this, you know, stuff that you've poured into them, even if they're like not ready to use it yet, Lord willing, if they go out and, you know, God works in their heart and they do become a follower of Christ, imagine what a gift it will be for them to be able to start off with all of what they already have in their mind and in their heart about who God is. So it's like, we don't flip that switch for them. Yes, we cannot give them salvation, but we can certainly give them an arsenal of truth that Lord willing, if and when they accept Christ, they can start from maturity. And that is just a huge gift that we give oftentimes through knowledge.
Yes. Yes. And that's a huge thing. It's like, I think I am like a huge advocate for communication. Just talk to one another. You know, I just tell us, air what you're feeling. We can deal with knowing what you're doing or what you're feeling or why, if you just talk about it. And so that's something that you want to do like with your kids, is like constantly talk about God. We have multiple episodes on things like this. So you can go back and like, we'll list them in the show notes of some of these that fit, but just talking about like, hey, God loves this. Ooh, God doesn't like that. Why? You know, why doesn't these things, is it that a swear word is really that bad? Or like what my kids love to yell, like potty talk words, you know, and diaper, you know, stuff like that. They think it's so funny. And, but sometimes they've said these things in an unkind manner. And so, you know, that's something where we sit down and talk, okay, the word diaper, or I can't even bring myself to say it on other bathroom terms, you know, those words aren't bad in and of themselves, you know, but it's your heart motivation. It's your intent. And so like talking through those things and not like wigging out just because a word is, and we just don't say that in this house. You know, it's, it's a conversation about what does God love? Why does he love it when you speak like that? And why is he sad when you speak in the other way? So
super good. I'm totally with you. Those are all things that I feel like I'm processing through. And another thing wanted to mention that I'm just going to piggyback off of that is just helping your children figure out how to think for themselves like this, which often I want to jump in and give my children a monologue and like preach to them. Exactly. And like we go into preacher mommy mode. I'm like, this is why we do this and why we don't do that. But instead, I'm finding that I need to stop and get on my children's level and say, why do you think that? Or how do you think that made, it's usually a brother. How do you think that made your brother feel? And like, how do you think God wants you to treat that person? Or maybe bringing like a scripture to them and saying, mm-hmm. remember, you know, whoever loves God must also love their brother. Do you think that was a loving way to treat your brother? And what's really amazing is that even my four-year-old, I can watch the wheels turn in his mind, and he'll look at me and go, no, I don't think that was, or that made God sad, mommy. And mm-hmm. it's cool because I'm watching him now start to process through so that I don't have to just stand and preach and tell him, hey, this was wrong or that was wrong. He can kind of start to reason there for himself, and Lord willing, that will just get more and more as he gets older. And I think the goal is to teach our children that they are always worshiping something, and with, you know, their head and their heart and their words mm-hmm. and their hands and their feet and everything yep, they do, yep. all of their talents need to be done in worship of God. And we can teach them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then when they fail and fall short of that, which they will over and over and over again, yep. we can teach them how to turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness and be dependent on God for their salvation. And so, yep. and then pray that they believe that is true.
Huge. We should have spent a little more time on that one.
Yeah, because it is not, the ball is not all in our courts. We don't have total control over it.
That's right. So we had a few more, but maybe we'll hop on and do a Facebook Live video or something like that, because we are hitting our time here. But thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you guys all have a wonderful Christmas. If you want more information on this, head to our show notes, risenmotherhood.com, and then all of our social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Risen Motherhood. And remember, we're taking a couple week break, but we'll be back in January. So look for us on social media. We'll kind of let you know when we'll be back. And we're just excited to 2017 is going to be a great year. We've got some really fun things planned. Yeah. So we hope you guys will all join us back there. And I think that's it. Have a wonderful holiday.